Hey, well, what's up? I am back with another episode, and I'm so excited to share this with you. This episode, I spoke with a good friend of mine, Pooja. She is a boss-ass bitch if I have ever met one. She is a branding sort of, what exactly do I call her? She's like a branding coach for a company called Simply Be, and she is my co-leader for the Chicago chapter of Sister Sister. We actually had this conversation in a coffee shop this week, so there's a little bit of background noise, and by a little bit, I mean quite a bit. But for me, I quite enjoy that like ambiance that the coffee shop gives, so I apologize if you're not into that and it's distracting for you. I promise that won't be every single week, but for this one, we were recording in a coffee shop, so just know that is coming. And there's some chair scraping and a few things that kind of distort the audio, but aside from that, it's all pretty good. I'm pretty impressed by the recording quality, honestly. But we talked about some really important things because Pooja is a branding coach. She gave some really good insight on personal branding, whether it's for photography or design, or you're just trying to be an influencer, really anything in between, modeling, content creation, PR, anything like that. We had kind of a conversation about what it means to build a personal brand. We also had some conversations about mental health, helping others when you're not mentally prepared to help even yourself, and some other really good content that I think is going to really enlighten and encourage and help any of you, because it certainly helped me. I absolutely love this conversation. I've listened to it several times now. I've edited it over and over and over again, and I just really, really enjoy this episode, and I'm really excited to share it with you. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you come back. Without further ado, let's jump right in. So I'm here with Pooja, my lovely friend, whom I met very recently. But why don't you just say hey and give a little spiel about yourself?
Yes. Hey guys. So my name is Pooja. I can't say a recent graduate anymore. I graduated in May of 2017 from the University of Minnesota. Not that long ago at all. I still consider myself like very much unknowing of what I'm doing at a constant basis. Live in Chicago. Carly and I met via Sister Sister, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit. I'm currently working at a startup for personal branding, and I own their PR and integrated marketing channels. A little bit about me. I'm from Kenya. I always like to start off by saying that because I think it really frames who I am and like my outlook on the world. I love all types of art and meeting people and connecting with people on coffee dates.
Yes.
That is me in a whole.
Actually, the first time we met was a coffee date too.
Yes.
So it's just like par for the course. Oh my gosh. Also, as a mild disclaimer, we're in a coffee shop, so the noise is going to be bad, but hopefully I can cut that down.
Yeah.
And also, I realized while you were talking that I was drinking, and I don't want them to hear me, like, take gulps.
That's gonna be me, too, let's be honest.
I know when we first met, I, like, oogled over it before, but, like, the fact that you grew up in Kenya is so mind-boggling to me. Like, that's just so cool. I feel like a peasant. I, like, haven't been anywhere. I've been to Paris for, like, a second, and that's, like, all. Oh, my gosh. So, as a general kind of like thing for this episode, I really want to talk about like branding yourself. And so just so I've announced it, that is the part, that's like the course we're going on for today. I really want to talk about that sort of general, but let's start with why you came to Chicago, since that's how I know you.
Yes. So I came to Chicago, a job brought me to Chicago right like a week after graduating. I had to pack up my bags and come, and I always wanted to be in Chicago because So college in Minneapolis was fun. Moving from a tiny, tiny town in Kenya, Mombasa, the island town, I kind of wanted the bigger and better, like, naturally. So my, you know, journey to Minneapolis was super fun, but then I just really wanted a bigger hub for communications and, like, for meeting people. I think Chicago just brings so much beautiful diversity in so many marketplace industries that, like, really called for me. So that's kind of what brought me here. And then I started at bigger PR agencies and marketing agencies and really found that I really work well and thrive best in smaller environments, especially when I'm working really closely with women.
Mm-hmm.
So hence why I found Simply Be Agency, which is based in Wicker Park. It's only 2 years old, which is really exciting. I'm really in the nitty grits of exactly what we're doing, and have made myself a core tribe member, which is super fun. But Chicago's already been so much for me, and like, I mean, meeting people like you, meeting people like from so many different organizations and communities have been so exciting. Like, yeah. I'm really excited to make this a home for myself.
Yeah. So when you were in Kenya, I'm trying to squeeze information about Kenya slowly every time I see you. When you were in Kenya, was there like, I feel like Chicago is such a hub for creative things in general, like music, street art, like everything. Is that something that carried through where you grew up at all, or is that something that you found more when you came to the States?
That's a good question. Yes and no. So I think that the arts and like the arts as a whole is definitely a core part of like Kenyan culture. Like people, in terms of the way they dress, the colors are like very red and warm tones, the color of dirt, rusty. It's just like, I guess we could say they're aesthetic, if anything. But Kenya really celebrates music, dance, and art in very similar ways to Chicago, because people are unapologetic about what they're appearing and what they're showing up as in the world, which is awesome, but obviously just very different ways, because in Kenya it's more like it's not a cultural statement as it is here. Over there it's just like it is what it is. It's it's a way of life. Like it's almost like you don't even question it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did always grew up with this like artistic like mentality, which kind of drew me into marketing and the way we appear in the world by like what we say, what we push out on internet, the way we talk, the way we speak, like all these little like elements that like people might not think of while they think of like marketing as a whole. They might just be like, oh, like what does your brand do, and like what is M&M's doing today, like stuff like that. Like it really goes beyond that. And I think growing up in such a in a developing country really made me understand the basics and the foundations of like who we are as people, and then how we like develop that as we grow older.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting. I grew up in a super, super, super small town.
Yeah.
In Michigan. I make jokes all the time. I feel like everyone makes jokes all the time when they come to the city, but like I literally, my high school was like across the street from cornfields. Like that's like what I grew up in. Yeah. And like eventually as like time went on, like it was more developed. Right. But it's just so interesting to see like the arts were really big in my high school, like specifically because like our band program brought in more money than like our sports did. Like the arts, we had a really, really robust like dance program where like kids were bussed in from other districts to like take our dance classes and stuff like that. So like our arts were so robust. But like coming to the city, I feel like for me at least, back home it was on everyone does this, like everyone is kind of doing the same types of like artistic things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came to Chicago and it's so much about self-expression and like being who you are and like delving into your own path art-wise, as opposed to like, okay, everyone does dance or like everyone plays an instrument or like whatever it is. So I think that was super interesting for me as well.
Totally, I can resonate with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what exactly, I know you were working at Simply Be, but also when I was internet stalking you before we met, like you have a pretty big following on Instagram. How did that come about? Like what did you do, please?
That's a good question. I mean, it's not the biggest, you know, obviously it's, you know, very micro level, I like to call it. And the thing I really love about the people who I'm constantly engaging with and like my little community is the fact that I can literally name off, you know, who I'm interacting with and who is popping up in my feed. I really love that because I feel like I'm connecting on them on a level that's, yes, through the screen, through a digital screen, but also in a very relevant manner. Like I really know what they're up to. I'm, you know, feeding off their energies, they're feeding off mine.
Yeah.
But in terms of how I grew that following, I think it really like launched in in college, I started being a little bit bolder in the choices I was making and in either the art or the style or the fashion or the lifestyle of whatever I was doing. I started being a little bit more bolder. I was pushing myself to be like, if I'm at a coffee shop, like, I kind of want to see how I can portray this in a way that's a little bit more unique and with my like artistic eye,
okay,
to make it seem like it's a lifestyle that I've created for myself.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite quotes is, how do I say this? It's to make living an art, that is the goal. It's by Henry Miller. It's on my Instagram bio too, but yeah, it's just like the fact that no matter what we're doing, whether it's like literally like fine arts or typing on a computer or drinking a cup of coffee, like it's a way of artistically expressing what you're doing, what you're feeling during your day. And like, I think that really resonated with a few people, and from there people just word of mouth traveled. I started meeting a lot of people. I'm a big fan of coffee dates. Like, if I could be a professional coffee dater, like, I tell everyone this, if there was a profession, it would be that. Like, I get so much energy by meeting new people and just like either listening or just chatting their ear off, whatever it is. Like, I love it. And I think just like by really being in a place where it's outside of my hometown, not in a completely new city, I just made friendships or just made connections, and that just kept growing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I brought that in Chicago.
Yeah. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you've always been really big about like connecting people and growing relationships and things like that. Where do you like see yourself going with that? Like, what exactly is your plan? I know we talked about this a little bit when we first met, but like, what exactly is your...
Is my, like, trajectory?
Like, your 5-year plan? I don't know. Like, what do you want? Like, big picture, do you think you want? I hate that question, but, like...
that's a tricky
question.
What
are you going to do after that the way you change?
Right.
My least favorite question.
So, I would love... When I was back in Kenya, I did a lot of work for the United Nations there in Nairobi.
Oh, okay.
And I would love...
Hello? What?
Yes. I was, a youth leader, and then I was flown out to Washington, D.C. in New York when I was 16 years old as part of their Global Youth Leaders Conference. So I like held committees and conferences on behalf of the youth leadership program.
Yeah.
In college, I became the president of the UNICEF chapter at Minnesota, but it's really like kind of died down since college, because I really haven't had that outlet or those connections to really tie me back into nonprofit or into that work. I really think that authentic connection honestly comes from those communities that are in service to themselves but also the people around them. People who understand the power they have to change not the world but their corner of the world is really something that I want to be a part of. So 5 years, if I could really imagine anything, it would be doing communications or marketing for an NGO or like any connection back to the United Nations. Like, I would love that. Plus if I could bring a little bit of that back home to Kenya, that would be like my life's goal.
Right.
Yeah.
First of all, I love that. Doing things to change your corner of the world, not necessarily the whole. I love that. Excuse me while I write that down. I really love that. I think also, like, as a, not totally related, but personally, like, I'm super into, like, sustainability and, like, ethical living and stuff like that. Yeah. We'll see how that translates later. I'm literally writing this quote down.
Yes.
I just need you
to
know.
Do
I love it so much. but it's so interesting because, like, for me, I was vegan for a while, and, like, I'm still trying to do kind of a low waste as I sit here with my plastic cup to remember. but, like... I'm trying to make strides in ways, but I feel like I get so overwhelmed by the idea that, like, okay, me not using plastic straws, like, that's not going to change the world, but it changes my, like, corner
of
the world.
Exactly.
I love...
Those micro actions can lead to really big macro changes.
Yeah.
And I think that's how people have to, like, really shift or reframe their perspective. It's like, you don't have to be that person who's doing the biggest thing or making the biggest impact. Like, those small things can really add up. And as menial as they may sound, it really does count if you are giving it your all, or at least making yourself accountable for it. I think we all have influence. And if we're influencing at least our communities or my few thousand Instagram followers, I'm making a difference, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I freaking... Oh, I love it. I... Pooja.
I'm so glad.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my gosh. So, I guess back on brand of branding. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with your brands? Because I know I talked to you about a little bit about this before, but like, I first of all, I thrive on just like writing affirmations to people. I thrive. But like, I remember I was telling you that like your little corner of the internet, if you will, is so just authentic. I feel like before I met you, I feel like I really like got to know you through your Instagram. It just felt so personal. And like your branding of yourself and the way you present yourself on online is so, I think, inspirational, because like I'm trying to I'm like, personally, I'm trying to obviously like grow my photography brand and like my, I guess, like identity online personally, and I'm just like trying to find avenues that I think present myself in the most authentic way, but still being professional and like as a way that's not
a portfolio me acting of yourself. A fool. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So tell me what that process was like for you.
I'll start off by saying that I went through a huge rebrand right after I think I moved to Chicago. And my Instagram handle, back in the day, what people knew me as, was the basic Pooja95Shop. That was my Instagram handle.
Okay.
But the thing is that that is honestly what garnered me 75% of the people and the community members I have now, right? That little handle. I was just known as that, and people were like, well, you know, like, you could be a little bit more interesting, like, you know, what's going on.
First
of all, First of all, I mean, my name, Pooja Shah, is one of the most basic Indian names you could find. Okay. Like, literally, I will say, if you fly to India, go to any street, call my name out, you will have 20 girls who, like, answer back. And like, what do you want?
You're kidding.
No, yeah.
That's
it's
so
like,
interesting.
It's the Jane or the Smiths. Like, it's just one of those things. All right. So, all of the really fun, quirky, like, Instagram handles were already taken.
Yeah.
I changed it now to the little Tembo.
Yeah.
And that means, so Tembo is a Swahili word for elephant. Elephants are my spirit animal. They're honestly, like, my thing. I have a tattoo of an elephant on my back. Like, it's just, they remind me that no matter how little I could ever feel, I can show up big and I can dream big. And they just, like, they mean so much to me. So by shifting that, I kind of shift my perspective around my Instagram. And I kind of told myself, like, this is the one platform where I get to really play with colors and aesthetics and filters. But really, like, just show up a little bit of myself. Like, you won't see that in my Facebook or my LinkedIn. Like, you won't see that on any other social channel.
Right.
So if that's where I want to play, like, I might as well go big or go home, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it started. I, like, told myself, like, I want an authentic community. I want to meet new people. I'm moving around to different cities right after college. Like, you know, I want something to change.
Yeah.
So after doing that, it was kind of like a mentality shift. And I started, again, like, taking little micro practices to see how I could push my boundaries in terms of boldness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it started off with, like, one caption where I started talking about, I think it was like a picture of me in a swimsuit. And it was back in Kenya, and I basically said something. I was like, you know, I couldn't be happier by the sea, by the ocean, by the sand, and in my own skin. And that was something I'd never touched on before in terms of like body positivity. My feed had been completely like quirky, witty captions and puns and like the very basics of like what you would, you know, an inspirational quote, like whatever you could find. But I started like twisting my perspective, like, this is kind of how I feel. Like, let's see how it resonates with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that exploded.
Yeah.
That exploded. I had insane feedback, and people were like, I want to see more of this. And then it started, I'm a journaler. I don't publish anything in a blog or on digital, but I write a lot, or we scribble down quotes just like you were. So I started like taking excerpts of what I was writing about, if it was in terms of like, I feel like I was a great student in college, and I'm really getting affected by like what post-college like depression looks like, or like exactly like hardships finding a job, like all those little things. I started just like pulling about and being like, hey, this is what I'm doing right now, whether or not you resonate with it, like, what are your thoughts? Do you like seeing this? Do you like seeing this side of me? And it resonated really well, just those little like reframes and mindsets. I don't think I am 100% authentic all the time on my Instagram. Like, I do believe that that is just the place where I feel like I will push what I am ready to push out. Mm-hmm. But you won't get, you are probably getting like 40% me sometimes.
Okay.
And I think that that is still a journey I'm on.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to share my stories, but it's really hard to also be introspective on a daily basis and think about, like, what am I really feeling?
Yeah.
And is that sensitive enough for me to be like, I need to, you know, hold that in, or is that something I'm ready to share out?
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to think a little bit differently. I started to think about the people who are giving me feedback. What do they like to hear, and what are they resonating with? Mm-hmm. And serving my audience the way I want to serve myself.
Yeah. Excuse me. Catch the cramps. Hello. Serving my audience the way I want to serve myself.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
But, like, personally, I just, well, obviously, I really resonate with that statement itself.
Yeah.
But, like, I go back and forth because I feel like becoming, like, not even Instagram famous, but just, like, having a certain number of followers on Instagram is, like, the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so big to do that. And so, like, so many people that I follow, even who, like, I went to school with, and they may not have, like, a super big following right now, but they're just, like, targeting what they're doing towards that. And, like, I am, too, because I'm trying to become, like, a professional photographer and, like,
yes,
designer, et cetera.
Exactly.
But, like, it's such a fine line because, like, personally, I know I was talking about this a little bit earlier, but, like, I'm mentally not super sound right now. And it's such a, like, I don't necessarily want to present that on my feed, but I also don't want to be, like, a liar. Like,
yeah,
I'm not,
absolutely.
You know, like.
Yeah. So that's a really good point. Here's what I have to say to that. I think if anyone, like, imagine you're going to a whiteboard or a drawing board,
mm-hmm.
right? And write down every single element about you. This is literally what I physically did in, like, a notebook one day. Like, write down every single little element that you feel like you talk to best, or, like, that really represents, like, design is what I, like, would categorize Carly in. Like, that's, like, her thing. If I was looking for, you know, a cool element of design, like, I would go to her page. Like, write down all those things that you feel you can own.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, like, cut out things that you're like, okay, this is kind of, like, cool, but this is probably oversaturated. Like, a lot of people do this. Like, find little things that really speak to you. Like, really speak to you. Like, and then maximize on that. Like, at Simply Be, you say, like, you just can't be someone who talks about a million different things, and you can't be someone who just talks about one thing, because then people are going to be like, I'm sick of you. Like, I don't really need you in my space or on my feed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you choose things that really resonate with you, and, like, be it two things, three things, four things, five things, just a few, like, a handful of things, and then always consistently, clearly be speaking to that.
Yeah.
I think that really will engage your audience. So,
mm-hmm.
like, for me, I think, like, lifestyle is one of them. I'm usually taking, a lot of my photos include coffee shops, which, you know, it relates. I want to be a professional coffee dater. So, exactly. So, like, that's something that I feel like is consistently on my feed. And then maybe, like work-life balance, like, things that I do around work, but also, like, travel is a huge focus of mine. So understanding, like, that travel inspires me to bring back into work, and what I work on is for traveling, like, that kind of, like, intersection, rather than be just a travel blogger or just, like, a professional career coach, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, finding those intersections and then constantly be reiterating to that.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, it doesn't have to be, like, everything you're going through in your life. It could just be specific things. Like, this is my trajectory on design. I really feel comfortable, like, showing you this is where I started off, and in a few months' time, we can reiterate that post and be like, this is where I am now.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. A little bit backtracking is to touch on what you said, but, like, what is work-life balance to you? Because, like, right now I'm struggling so hard. Again, like, I realize I'm not, like, in a super good, like, mental state either, but, like, so, like, for me, my biggest thing is that, like, I just left a 9-to-5 job 2 months ago, where, like, my life was consumed with waking up and eating breakfast and then going to work and then coming home and, like, taking a nap and then eating and going to bed. And so, like, that was my routine. And I felt like I was trying to throw in design and photography or, like, whatever it was in those, like, moments that I could. And now, oh, it just hit my mic, but, like, now I work at the coffee shop that we're actually sitting in, and, like, I am only working 15 hours here, and the rest of my time is trying to, like, make design work and make photography work and do all this stuff and, like, self-promoting, like I talked about last week. But, like, that has become my life, and I don't know what the hell is work-life balance, because I feel like my life is just work.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked. I do not believe... Okay, I know I just said, like, work-life balance in that intersection. Yeah. I do not believe in work-life balance. Period.
Yeah.
Like, I... Literally, I get goosebumps and I, like, get, like, horrified and, like, I have a very emotional, like, response when people are like, oh, like, tell me about how you do it, or, like, I serve work-life balance. Like, no. In my strict opinion... Yes, do it. In my opinion, work and, like, what you are truly... If you're working in a field that you are passionate in, that should be blended completely 100% integrated into your life. Like, that should be something that you wake up and you're like, this is what I'm doing, because yes, I'm getting paid for it, but I love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So it's not even work. Mm-hmm. It's not even something that I'm like, you know, have to complete to get to the reward, which is what I really love.
Yeah.
The balance. Like, that's the life, I don't think I'm there yet, but that's the life I'm working towards. Yeah. I really want, so when I talk about travel, when I travel, I also choose places that serve to inspire me, whether it's, like, the hotel I'm staying at or the restaurant I visit, that inspire me to create content. That's something that I want to be doing on a daily basis, like, harkening back to that quote, make, like, living itself an art. Mm-hmm. No matter what I'm doing, whether it's writing an email to a prospective client or it's taking a photo of one of my best friends, like, it should be something that is integrated with that mindset, mm-hmm. of, like, I'm making a lifestyle that I'm proud to be living.
Yeah.
And so work-life balance, it's not something that I've ever successfully achieved, but it's something I'm working towards in terms of canceling out the boundaries and or like the schedules of like I have to complete X shift and then my next shift is pleasuring myself, like, you know, whatever it is, like I'm trying to scrap that,
yeah,
and be very intentional about doing things that speak for me, again, serving myself,
yeah,
and serving the, because if I serve myself, I'm going to serve other people, that energy is going to be like shown that I am, yeah. in my most positive state, people are going to want to work with me or play with me or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. It really does. It does to me. Actually, while you were, as soon as I saw that, I just thought of this. I saw it on Instagram today. I follow Betches.
Yes.
They're
like,
I think they're so funny.
They're so hilarious.
But they just shared this, I think it was today, but it said that somebody tweeted, I like to spend my energy thinking about work responsibilities when I'm at home and home responsibilities when I'm at work, so that I can feel stressed 100% of the time but never do anything about it. And like,
yep.
That is so funny and relatable, but also like sad that that's so funny and relatable, because like, that I don't want my life to be that way, but that's what it is. Like, more or less, at least right now, like that's what it is.
Right.
And like, I love that though, like, because I feel like people are always saying, do what you love. And that's so great in theory, but you have to make money. And sometimes to make money, you're not doing what you love, but trying to find ways to integrate that into whatever it is, I think is so important.
Or even like shifting the mindset of like, I'm doing what I love 100% of time, and the way I'm doing that is by working as a barista to get the money that I need to do what I love. You know what I mean? Like, shifting that mindset, like, it shouldn't be, work should not be this overwhelming thing. Like, people say it all the time, like, we have one life to live, like, yes, but we could be stepping into our power way more than we think.
Oh my God, was that stage? Jeff, I thought that was the best one. I was like, sorry. I see now it's his job to clean that up. Never mind.
But yeah,
anyway, I'm sorry.
No, of course, you're okay. What was I saying? Yeah, just, I think it's really important for people to understand that we have a lot more power than we think. It's not like, oh God, I just graduated college, here we go. Like, this is like what my life is going to look like until I'm 60 and I have a retirement plan. God forbid I don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have the power to really change that, and it's really up to us to like reframe that mindset.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Actually, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy.
Oh, I know.
It's one of the hardest things.
Relatable. I was actually just talking to my mom about it, because yesterday was a really hard day for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to, as a side note, I feel like I need to talk about my mental health, but like for me, I feel like I really need to talk about it, and I feel like that's something, like, obviously right now it's
super, this is a tangent, but, like, right now it's super, like, popular to talk about, like, mental health and how we're feeling.
It's such a buzzword.
And that's, like, great, but I feel like for me, I spent so much time saying, like, I'm not feeling as bad as I think I am, but, like, I am. And so, like, talking about it for me, just, like, not a disclaimer, but just, like, reasoning, like, talking about it for me is so, like, key, because I'm not saying it's, everything's great and fine, yeah. But I'm also, like, admitting that, like, I had a bad day yesterday. Yeah. It was a really bad day.
Yes.
Anyway, all that aside, or not aside, but just, like, preface, I guess.
Yeah.
I was talking to my mom about it because it's really hard, especially because I want to do something that's not really, I can't go somewhere and get a job as my own photographer. No. So I'm definitely trying to create this brand and self-promote and do whatever so that I can do exactly what I love and what I want to do. Yes. But in that way, I'm sacrificing, like, I don't want to work a 9-to-5 job so that I can do photography on the side. Like, for me, it's worth it to be a barista and be kind of struggling.
Exactly.
Because, like, I'm building my brand and doing what I want. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that was something she reassured me about it because I was like, am I being ungrateful? Am I being, like, too picky about not working at a 9-to-5 or working at, like, McDonald's because it's another job to pay the bills or whatever it is? And she was like, no, it's not. Like, you're trying, you're making sacrifices financially, which is sucks ass, but, like, it's not the end of the world. Like, you're making sacrifices because you're trying to build that brand and get to where you want to be. And, like, that, I heard it, and I'm letting it sink in, and I'm, like, trying, like, I'm working on accepting that, and that's something I'm obviously still working on, but, like, I feel like we don't say that enough.
Yeah.
Especially for me, like, me trying to be in a creative thing and, like, everything else, like, and even you still being in a creative field, also, it's so much about, like, that work-life balance, work so that you can, like, sometimes take time off to do what you want. Yeah. Actually, I was just, I don't know what the book was called. It was, like, a memoir by this girl. She worked in, like, fashion magazines. So for a really long time, I wanted to be Miranda Priestly from The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes!
That was my, like, aspiration. I wanted to do that so badly.
I can still see that.
Oh, my
like,
God.
I can
Thank
see
you.
That.
But I really wanted to do that. And so my mom, like, God bless this woman. She has always been so supportive. I'm actually doing a podcast episode with her in the near future.
I'm so excited.
She's just gonna, like, talk about raising a kind of creative human. I'm so excited.
That's amazing.
I'm so excited. She's going to be, she's going to be so good. But, what was I just, the book.
Yes.
My mom bought me all these books about, like, women who worked for, like, started magazines, just, like, all these memoirs and stuff. And so this one that I don't remember, but it's at my house, so I will, like, put it in the description of the podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
But she worked for Women's Wear Daily, I think in America, but Men's Wear Daily in France, actually. She was, I think she grew up in America, but she went and moved to France to, like, work for Menswear.
Yeah.
And she was working as a reporter. She really wanted to, like, get her foot in the door, like, in the fashion world, and so, like, that's how she did it. And I distinctly remember, like, it's probably one of the only things I remember super clearly about that, like, novel, that memoir in general, but, like, she was talking about how the thing that she really experienced over there is that in France, at least at that time, it was so mind-boggling for everyone around her to see her, like, working day in and day out and having that, like, kind of American hustle mindset, because they were like, what are you talking about? Like, she dated, in the book she talked about how she dated this boy who worked, I don't even remember what he did for a living, but he did something, and, like, it wasn't about making money, it was about, like, having a job so you can do the fun stuff. Like, it wasn't about the job, it was about, like, living. And that was such, I was reading that, I was in college at the time, and so I was just like, yeah, that's so cool, but, like, now that I'm out of college, I'm like, no, that's the life I want. I want to work a job so that I can afford to do what I want. Like, I don't want to be slave to a desk for 10 years trying to pay off my debts. Like, yes, but also, that's
it's
not
insane.
What I want.
I don't want to make an overarching statement, but from what I've experienced, I've worked in France, I've worked in London, I've worked in Kenya.
Hello, what?
Doing, like, in marketing and artistic jobs.
Yeah.
But I've worked in those three places. I haven't touched, you know, Asia or the other side, but I've never once experienced the overwhelming amount of stress and burden that I've experienced in the U.S.
I believe it.
The hustle, this 24/7, like, go mentality, it is so detrimental to, like, who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And I agree, like, it's and it's almost honestly been so like transformative for me to like think like, okay, I've already like, I'm attempting to constantly remind myself to shift this perspective, like what I do on a daily basis in Chicago, but it is so hard to reaffirm myself because everyone else around me is like, if you're not hustling, I can replace you. Like, right. You're just one other person. Yeah. You're a number here. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like that value is just for like life and living more life, like it's just not taken into consideration.
Yeah, that replaceability is so, I don't want to say it's key, but that's so key in America, at least, is that, like, oh, yeah. You can't do it for the price I want, you can't do it in the time I want, you can't do whatever it is, like, that's fine, I'll go with somebody else. And, like, I get that, but also, it's like, we're all people, yeah. We all have shit come up.
Yeah. And I feel like that, yeah, I mean, the socioeconomic, like, conversation is, like, a whole other book.
That's really true.
Like, it's just, it, yeah. I think, like, for people like us, for people who are, like, starting off and, like, really looking forward to, like, branching and building their careers, it's really important to keep your goals in mind. And, like, yes, people say that all the time, like, try and manifest it. Like, yes, but also, like, be strategic around who you're meeting and what gives you pleasure. Like, what, not pleasure, but fun, but, like, you know, like, what makes you happy and energized. And keep doing that. Because the more energy you're giving yourself, the better output you're going to be giving off.
I totally agree.
And I agree with what you said about mental health, too. Like, that is, I mean, yes, it's become such a conversation and such a commonplace term. Like, people are throwing it around almost these days. But, I mean, for me, I suffer from extreme stress. I get a lot of, like, neck locks and, like, shoulder pain. And, like, that's my thing. Like, on a daily basis, I'm like, I have such a great boyfriend, and like he really like
smacks
the mic. He plays the hand over heart, and like I appreciate him so much because like he like on a constant basis like anytime you need a neck massage like I got you, you know.
That's so cool.
And he understands. It's amazing. Yeah. He's phenomenal. But like it's honestly crazy because I'm like, where in my life have I ever experienced this?
Yeah.
Like where? Like I was never that person. I was always like, the minute I'm off, you know, do what I need to do at school, like shoes off, let's go do something outdoors, like whatever it is. But like I'm being told like, Pooja, you need to relax more. I'm like, who is this person that I've become?
Ooh.
You know? Oh, it's insane.
That's so true. Yeah, my boyfriend has been also really like key for me as well. Like he was here yesterday. He lives out in the suburbs, but like he was here yesterday and like just so mushy, but like he genuinely is one of the only people that I will like let see me get that way.
Yeah.
He and then my two roommates also have seen me on real bad days. But like yesterday was like one of the worst breakdowns I've had like in a really long time, and he like hasn't ever experienced that before, so it was new, so he like wasn't really sure what to do. But like he's so key having those people in your life who are gonna be like, it's okay that you're feeling really shitty right now, and it's okay that you're bringing it back on the topic and on brand. Like, it's okay that you're taking a break from whatever it is that you want to be doing, because, like, unless you're okay and you're taken care of, like, you can't take care of other people in, like, even in, like, the typical sense, but also in, like, the artistic way as well, or, like, trying to help people brand and do whatever. Like, if you're not okay, you're not going to be able to do that for other people, so.
In all aspects of life, that is the line, like, literally.
Yeah.
You can't be serving anyone else beyond yourself if you're not taken care of.
Yeah. Okay, so.
How are we going to meander that into branding?
Like, let's just
take a slight turn.
So I mean, I do this every single time. All that being said,
yes,
it's important to be okay before you start doing anything else. But I guess what would be, since you do this for a living, what would be your like tip to people who are getting started with their business and their brand? Like for me, I've gotten like a little bit ahead. I started rebranded just recently, and so like
it looks amazing.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Stop. But like that was super key for me. But like what, I guess what would be the beginning stages?
Yeah, like
I just
how
kind
you
of
start?
Tumbled into it, and
totally.
I was like, what am I doing?
So I think one, the drawing board, like writing down the definitions and narrowing down what you want to be talking about. Like, who do you want to be, not in real life, but, like, when you're, I assume you're branding, you're pushing things out on the internet, via social platforms, via digital platforms, via blog, website, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
anything that you are making, creating that is representing you. What is that definition? Like, the basics. Start with an objective statement. Start with a mission. Like, what are you here for? What is your purpose? And really let that go beyond yourself. Like, when people come to that page, they're not going to care about who you are and how cool you are. What are they getting out of it?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I come to your page, like, I want design inspiration. And I'm getting it. But, like, I want that to be, like, that needs to be, like, in black and white for me. What am I, like, I think I really need to work on that. Like, I don't know what people are coming for me for, and that's, like, that's something that I'm developing, and, like, yeah. I really want that black and white statement, but that's something you have to constantly think about. Mm-hmm. So I think define that, and then start to get creative. Start to get, like, what are people who have that same mission statement doing, mm-hmm. and how can you be a differentiator, a game changer in that space? Mm-hmm. So, like, design, a lot of people probably are, you know, using the same branding colors or have the same kind of aesthetics, but, like, what is making Carly Carly? Like, why am I choosing her versus the tens of thousands of people in our world who are doing the exact same thing?
Yeah.
Once you figure out that niche, you're on the right track. Like, once you figure out that target, you know, then I think that also speaks to who, like, who's your target audience? Like, these are kind of, like, marketing 101 basics, but, like, it's so easy to do that for a brand or someone else. Mm-hmm. It is. You are your hardest client.
Yeah.
I always say that. And hence why, like, I can talk about this now, but, like, I go back to mine and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I don't know what I just posted. Like, does that even make sense? Like,
yeah.
I asked 5 of my friends, can you read that? What just happened? Like, is that making any sense? Like, it's really difficult.
What
yes.
is going
like,
on? Yeah.
Did that just come out of my brain? Or, like, I don't know, right? So,
yeah.
like, I think it's, you just have to figure out who your target audience is and, like, and make that as specific as possible, because mm-hmm. the loyal tribe that, like, stands true to you will mm-hmm. then grow into who it is. Don't be like, I want women of all ages, because, what?
Your 100 true fans.
Exactly. Because if you start broad, like, people are going to, you're going to just be another person, another number in an oversaturated market.
Yeah.
We live in a world where there's, it's really hard to come up with a creative original idea, and, like, it's awesome that we get a bounce off of so many people who have done really dope, cool things, but it's a matter of, like, finding that little unique hook and pitching yourself that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, pitching.
Yes.
Run me through
I do that on a constant basis. Oh, my goodness.
I'm so terrible at pitching myself.
Yeah.
Especially, I think we talked about this at our sister-sister meeting.
Yes.
Which we'll talk about in a minute. But, like, I was talking about how, like, for me, I'm trying to get out of the headspace of saying, like, oh, I just graduated.
Yeah.
Trying to discount myself. And, like, I do that all the time. And I don't know why I do that. Because no one ever asks.
Nope.
They're like, oh, did you just graduate from college?
No.
But actually, I did. nobody said that.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know what I was going with that one.
Like,
how do I go about pitching? Yeah.
Step into your power. Mm. Like, if there's one thing I could tell you, like, imagine the Carly in 12 months' time, in a year, 3 years. Who is she? And emulate that in that email that you're sending.
Mm.
Like, Carly has 10 clients a month. She is making X, Y, and Z. She is disrupting the conversation by being the designer who does this differently. Like, whatever that is, envision that and pitch yourself like that person, because the minute you start doing that, you will manifest that into existence.
I love
like,
it.
Like, literally. So
yes.
I think, like, construct a really cool, brief little bio about yourself. Get a really awesome headshot. Like, get those, like, materials together.
Yeah.
Get your portfolio, like, as top and as high tier as you can. But then, like, once you get down to that framework pitch, like, start with a bold statement, like, I am, you know, Pooja Shah, and I do content creation in X, Y, and Z way.
Yeah.
And the reason you need me is because I have a collective, or I have the skill sets that match what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really figure out, like, if you're talking to brands, if you're talking to other people, if you're talking to, like, building your clientele, like, this is what I can do for you that no one else can.
Yeah.
I take time to listen to your story before I start taking photos, because I want your story to
mm-hmm.
really emulate what you're feeling in that moment, like,
right.
whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then write that out. Do not start talking about how little experience you may have, or, like, how you might feel a little bit imposter syndrome is a thing. Don't let that get to you. Imposter syndrome. That should be like a whole episode. Like, that's a whole other thing.
Topic 374. Imposter syndrome.
We hate her. Like, literally.
She can leave. She's the one that comes to the party. You don't want her. She shuts everything down.
Nope.
We don't want her.
Nope. That is, yes. She's a real bitch. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. So do not, like, that's something I think you just keep in mind. Like, mm-hmm. be bold, go with your gut, and just hit send. Like, don't keep reading over that email. Just hit send. Let's see where it lands.
Such a problem I have.
The worst thing they can say is no, yes, but there's a billion other people you can talk to.
Right.
Like, there literally is.
Yeah.
And the next little piece of, like, tip that I think I've learned on is if there's any way you can, show them in real life before pitching them what you are capable of, coffee date. Always ask for a coffee date. It always goes back to it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Coffee is essential. Really, it belongs in your blood system. Like, just keep doing it. Like,
belongs in blood. I love it.
Like, literally, like, if you can prove, like, I feel very confident in one-to-one conversations. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is where, if someone wants to know me, like, I really would love to connect with them over a coffee date versus an email or a phone call.
Yeah.
I think that's where I shine. So find whatever makes you, like, if you're really great on email, fantastic. Yeah. But whatever makes you feel like you can sell best, like, try get on their books.
Mm-hmm.
Write an awesome thank you note. Like, what, those little things that people teach you in college when you're interviewing, like, those little things go a long way, because a lot of people will all be surprised forget about being a nice human being.
Yeah. Kindness goes such a long way. Someone who works in the service industry.
Exactly.
Kindness. Oh, I cannot. You could be doing something that, like, typically just grinds my gears, but if you're like, hey, could you?
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I don't know what I was listening to. It was a podcast, I'm sure of it. But
of course.
They're talking about how it's so important to switch that, like, I'm sorry mentality into thank you for, like, being patient, or thank you for, like, da-da-da-da. It switches
flexible,
it from, like,
being understanding.
Right,
yes.
Like, that's such a key. And then another thing I just thought about while you were talking is that, like, I feel like it's so easy. I was reading a statistic, listening to a podcast, probably. I don't remember exactly where it came from, but there's, like, a real statistic out there that I've read and seen the research for, but I cannot remember, that, like, men are more likely to go for things they're not qualified, or they don't feel like they're qualified for, and women are like, I don't hit all the boxes, like, I don't feel like I can do it, and, like, I have such a hard time with that. I have such a hard time with that, especially because, like, I've only done, I don't know that I want to say this on my podcast, but I am anyway. I've only done 2 real engagement shoots before in my life. And I get so caught up saying, like, I don't say it to clients, but I'm like, yeah, I could do this, but, like, I'll do it for less money because I know I'm not, like, inexperienced. But I also know I'm like, get the shots.
Yes,
like, I know I'm
you
good.
You are. Can you close the testimonials?
I haven't. I asked a past client of mine, and they just, like, didn't respond. And I don't want to text because it's been, like, a year. And
okay,
so I'm like, I don't want to do that, but I am going back and cycling through and getting testimonials.
As soon as you get a testimonial, put that in your header of your pitch.
Mm.
I did that. They were happy with it. They think I'm bomb.
Yeah.
You will too.
That's
simple.
Cool.
Easy.
I like it. I like
you're not telling them. You're showing them your work.
Yeah.
No matter if that was the first engagement shot you did, you got an awesome testimonial.
Yeah.
Like, always collect that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's, like, right after your shooting, like, hey, I just really would love to record something, or just get something in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind? I'm sure they would be so happy.
Yeah.
Like, or even,
so
like,
true.
When you send them the downloadable file to all their photos, like,
right.
whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
make that a system where it's, like, right off the bat you have that. No, but love that.
Yeah. All right. So, let's say we have the brand. We're sure of ourselves.
Yes.
We are getting the clientele.
Yes.
What's that next step? Because I talked about a little bit in my closet to myself about that, like, self-promotion is, like, never-ending. Like, you never stop self-promoting. It just kind of, like, takes on different forms. And, like, for me, I think it's so important to, like, educate yourself on, like, what exactly I'm missing, how I can better my services, how I can do different things, and, like, kind of take what I'm already doing but twist it in a new way. So, like, obviously that, but, like, what do you do? Like, you have the brand, you're set. What do you do then, you know?
It's a great question. And it's going to come in different forms. But I think, like, stay relevant.
Mm.
And how do you do that? Maybe it's you're investing in conferences to go to.
Yeah.
Maybe it's you taking an hour each week to scan through your LinkedIn connections and find the next coffee date. Like, whatever it is, keep talking and interacting with people, because everyone is always going to be one step ahead of you, and that's the mentality you need to take, but not in a detrimental way.
Right, in a way.
More so like, in a way that motivates, yes, or like you aspire to be like constantly up leveling, because there is no top. Mm-hmm. The sky is the beginning. There is no top.
The sky is the beginning. I love it.
Literally, like that's. Like you have to constantly be thinking about it in that way, because I mean the more expertise, the more experience, like you can only up level yourself. Like think about it in a way where you're like, I go to X conference, I come back with 5 new skills, I can upcharge everyone.
Yeah.
Because now I serve a greater amount of value.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. I serve 5 new skills. Baby bitch, thank you.
Yes, it's real. We have talent. We undersell, as women, constantly undersell ourselves. That's just been a known fact. But yeah, like, it's really, I find it really outrageous. I have another friend, who's you know her. We met her in our last sister event.
Oh my gosh.
She was phenomenal.
Love her.
I love her.
I'm obsessed.
And I think you heard, like, in our last meeting, I told her, like, I know exactly how much you charge, and you seriously undercharge yourself in your services. And, like, I wanted to shake her, like, what is wrong with you? Like, you provide so much value, and, like, it's her experience, like, working with her is, mm-hmm, I come back feeling 10 times better about myself, my feel, than I've ever had. And I haven't shot with her, but I know I've been a witness to her shooting with other people, and like the way people come out of those shoots are like feeling like they could do 10 editorial Vogue shoots, and like the fact that you know, she doesn't, that should be like a charge,
right?
That should literally be like, I do photography, but I also make you feel good.
On the breakdown, like, I make you feel like a queen.
Like, $100. Like, you know what I mean? Like, seriously.
Because it's so important. It's so, I shot with this one woman back in high school. And first of all, I hate getting my photos taken. Aww. Like, I feel like everyone goes through that period, and right now, I hate it. Working on it, but, like, dislike it a lot. But I was working with this one woman, and she just, like, okay, now I did just talk about how my in-person manner is not 10 out of 10. I like talked about it in the last episode, and I talked about it with you today, that like I'll just stare at people and not speak. However, I tried to like combat it a little bit, and I feel like I'm pretty positive, tosses hair, but like she was just rude the whole time, because like she got good shots, like I'm like happy with them or whatever, but I was like, you do not like, thank you, sir. Thank you for that. Like, there's no reason for you to make people feel like they're not beautiful, especially when you're like taking someone's photos or like doing art or like whatever it is. Like, there's absolutely zero reason. Well,
sure.
I can think of a few people.
Sure. Yeah.
Don't. Some others. Where, like, if I was doing something with them, I would be nasty. But
absolutely.
Like, there's no reason for you to be, I don't want to say aggressive, but even sometimes just like how you hold yourself translates, mm-hmm, and it makes like when you feel uncomfortable and not confident, like other people see that and they read off
energies,
of that, and then they are uncomfortable also. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it totally goes back to like customer service. Like, if you are, especially in the creative industry, I mean, honestly, like overarching bucket of like a lot of fields that you're in, like you're constantly going to be working with people, and like you have to understand that like whatever you're feeling or going through, like whether it's professionally or personally, customer service and like the basics of smiling, of shaking, having a strong handshake, like all those little things, like it really counts. And like if you're not giving yourself the best, like how can you charge someone for an adequate experience?
Right.
Yeah.
Again, if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of others.
There we go.
It comes in like health wise, but also like attitude.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Full circle for everything.
Yeah. All right. So let's do. I feel like we've been recording for like a really long time. Have we? Only 54 minutes, so we're doing so good. I still have a couple things I want to talk about really quick, but let's do a recap of what we just did. So, starting out in the basics, one, it's being confident in yourself when you work. And, like, we didn't say it specifically, but, like, working on your portfolio. Like, today I shot with you, obviously, like, just for fun. But I also use film. I'm super excited to see how that turns out. But, like, doing stuff that develops your craft and having a portfolio to start with.
Yes.
But then, you know, starting out, that confidence in yourself. I can't remember off the top of my head everything else that you said.
let's see. Yep, confidence in yourself, understanding that you have the power to change your corner of the world, or at least influence in some way, like your own that.
Love it.
Serve yourself the way you like to serve others. I think that that is, like, I want everyone to know that. And in terms of, like, pitching yourself, like, utilize and maximize all the resources in front of you. Constantly up level. There's no stopping.
Yes. There's no reason for you to sell yourself short at any time. Future Carly, listen to this.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And also finding ways to better yourself so you're always staying relevant.
Yeah, I love
Super
that.
Super good on that. All right. Okay, so we've talked about self-promotion. Is there anything else you want to bring in that I didn't say or I guess ask about? Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I'm just trying to think. I think the last note I would just say is always remember that no matter your business or no matter the career you're trying to project for yourself, it should always be in service of others because no one truly cares about you.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Yeah,
it's literally it. Like, people will come to you and will grant you business as long as you are in service to others. Did anyone hear that?
They just took out the trash. It's fine. Fine.
Take it out the trash.
Take out the trash from your life, from your attitude.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, totally fair. Okay, so.
Yeah. What are the other questions?
I want to talk about sister, since we're here.
Yes!
Yes! So I'll give a quick background because I don't think I've ever. I gave a brief thing on it, I think on my last episode, which, again, I need to edit because it's not. it sounds. I can hear myself breathing and I hate it. I want to sound like a robot and everything. Oh my gosh. But Sister is. An organization. It was started by Jessica Whitaker, who's in New York, is where she's based out of. But she does a lot of work in Seattle, too, because I follow her religiously. I know exactly what she's doing. But she started this Facebook group, Build and Bloom, and Build and Bloom's offshoot, which Build and Bloom is free if you want to join. Super interesting. I love posting in there about, like, questions on stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone is super helpful. There's a lot of, like, constructive criticism going on, too, so you can, like, post images or post whatever you're doing, and people get feedback. Highly recommend.
For all the women in creative media, photography, videography, like whatever you are, bloggers, influencers.
And so Sister is the offshoot of Build and Bloom. And fill in anything that I'm missing, but like it's for women and girls who are interested in creative media, whether that's like blogging, photography, design, branding, literally anything that could be mildly related to creative media. Like we want you to come to our meet and greets. We just started the Chicago chapter for this new, like, season, if you will. We had our first event last month. One person showed up because it was St. Patrick's Day.
It was St. Patrick's Day.
And, like, if you know anything about Chicago, it's crazy. So, like, understandable.
Yes.
We talked about goal setting last time. It was super interesting. And, like, yes, you've set the goals, but what happens afterwards?
Yeah.
So we had, like, a discussion about that, which was really cool. I think I actually talked to Touch about it last episode, I think. It was so funny. I, like, repeat to myself all the time to, like, find your nose, like, find your hard nose.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah. And to recap, basically,
I made an Instagram post about it, too.
I read that. I loved it. Loved it. Oh, my gosh. I can't remember her name right now.
Oh, Chris.
Was it Chris?
Chris Laurie.
Shout out Chris Laurie! But she was talking about how, like, you have to figure out what exactly, whether it's business or just, like, in your personal life or whatever it is, like, you need to know where your no's are and, like, what you're not willing to do. Because, like, sometimes you're willing to branch out and you're willing to try stuff, and sometimes it's just not it. Like, if we're talking about infant photography, I will never take pictures of babies a day in my life. I've seen too many things where they're, like, throwing up or, like, shitting in the background. And I just won't do it. I won't do it. And so, like, that for me is a really hard no.
It's as important to find, like, the things that you really want to do. It's as important to be like, these are canceled. Like, no, this is not happening because I am staying true to who I am.
Yeah.
And if that's something I want to say no to, great.
Yes.
Take it or leave it.
Oh, God. Oh, my God, I love it. But, yeah, anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because if you're in the Chicago area or somewhere close and you want to commute in, we would love to see you and love to have you. And, I feel like that was everything. Is there anything that you... I know I asked about, like, branding, but just in general, is there anything you wanted to
everyone. If anyone has any other questions, find me at the Little Tembo.
Yeah, I'll have it linked, so.
Amazing.
In the description down below.
Amazing. No, but I'm, like I said, I'm always up to continue this conversation and, like, do follow-ups with anyone. Grab some coffee.
Do a coffee date?
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
This was so fun.
Yeah, it was. Thank you so much for coming.
I'm just, like, super grateful. First of all, that I met you, because you're a beautiful human being inside and out. I'd just like to say, oh my gosh, please follow her and, like, get in contact. You're amazing.
I'm so glad. Over sister, you sister all the brought time. Us together.
Yeah,
this is real.
But anyway, that's all, folks. Thanks so much. Insert end of the podcast right here. Okay, great. And it's over. Good. That was my conversation with Pooja. I hope you enjoyed it because I know I certainly did. She is a light, inspiration, and killing it. She is truly killing it. If you'd like to get in contact with me or check out anything else that I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram. My username is Carly Ann, that's C-A-R-L-I-E-E period A-N-N, to check me out. If you're interested in following Pooja, I've linked all of her stuff down below or in the show notes, and her Instagram is at the little tembo, that's thelittletembo. I hope you tune in for next week, and I hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. But that's all I have for you, so I hope you have a really amazing day and week, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.